Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill 1764 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the second. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body, senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the House Bill number 1764, with the Senate Committee Substitute, be read the third time and placed upon its final passage. Or we have to adopt the Senate Committee Substitute first, Mr. President.
Senator, would
I move for that adoption?
Senator from the second has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1764.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator
President.
From the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an omnibus insurance bill that has language in here that deals with various different bills. Every which one of those has been voted unanimous out of this body. With the exception of one, there was just a bill that went through a different committee that was just dealt with some insurance bankruptcy language. It was pretty innocuous, just allowing them the same rights under federal bankruptcy on banks as they could be for insurance companies. I'll gladly answer any questions. Not a renew my motion.
Senator from the 7th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a substitute. It has been distributed.
Send
so
substitute.
As for a waiver of the reading.
Send Senate substitute forward. Hearing no objection to the waiver of the reading, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for its adoption. The language in this substitute, you have a handout that explains that, but the language in this substitute mirrors the initial bill of SJR 25, the Health Care Freedom Act, and the operative word, as I said when I first introduced it, is freedom. It's important to note that this is a citizen's bill. It really was filed and moved as a response to their involvement. Many of you saw them in the rotunda today, rallying again for after numerous times of doing that. They also circled the Capitol this morning, honking their support for what we are doing right now. And what we are doing is we are bringing to a vote of these people and all Missourians the right for them to voice how they feel about the federal health care law that was passed. What that law does is that it designs an insurance product. It says that we will be required to buy that product, whether it fits our needs or not, whether we can afford it or not. And if we do not purchase it, we will be fined up to $2,085 per person, or couple rather, or 2.5% of our income, whichever is higher, and that is indexed to the cost of living, so it will continue to go up. It will be fined with on our tax forms, and if we do not pay, we are subject to imprisonment. As a result of that, we came back with the Health Care Freedom Act in Missouri. I will say that this also mirrors what Arizona and Idaho have done, and Virginia, particularly Virginia. And we are joining the state of Virginia and others like them with passing this Health Care Freedom Act. In addition to that, we're putting a referendum on it so our people have a right to go express themselves at the voting ballot of how they feel about it. And what our bill does is just will preserve and protect the rights of Missourians to choose their own medical and insurance products. They will be able to do that without fear of penalty or imprisonment. When the federal law came down, it felt foreign to me. I said that the first time. It seemed like our world had turned just upside down, and many people felt that way. And so that's why we are responding to their call today. As the proposal states, no person, employer, or healthcare provider shall be compelled to participate in a healthcare system ordered by the government. It would protect the right of individuals, employers, and employers to choose to pay directly for medical services without fines or imprisonment, as I have said. America's citizens should have the right to use their own hard-earned money to pay for the services that they choose. When government controls the dollars, government makes decisions based on what's best for government, not what is best for patients. We all know that it's important to have health insurance coverage, but a government requirement, as we have learned from the state of Missouri, is ineffective, bureaucratic and costly. Because of Massachusetts giving us an example, we know that their mandated system, similar to the one passed by the federal government, has resulted in 40% higher premiums and increased visits to the emergency room, the opposite of what they had originally made a goal for. Companies under the federal law will face penalties of thousands of dollars per employee for not offering the federal product. National companies, as we have seen in the last few weeks, like AT&T, Caterpillar, and John Deere, have already reported financial revenue loss of millions and the resultant reduction in employee benefits as a result, direct result of the federal bill. In this economy, especially in this economy, we simply cannot make a mistake and put more burdensome requirements on our businesses or fine anyone for not purchasing a product. By the way, never in the history of this country has a government ordered someone to buy a product. Never. This is unprecedented. And with regard to our companies, it will put them out of business, and the jobs and revenue that we so desperately need will continue to disappear. I want to again reiterate, this is not an opt-out language. It still allows people to choose, if they want to, any kind of federal option, so they are not prohibited from that, and it just expands their options. It does not limit them. Additionally, the Missouri Healthcare Freedom Act has language similar to Arizona and Virginia and the others that will not affect any safety net programs like Medicare and Medicaid. By passing this, we lose absolutely nothing. There are many people that are trying to misrepresent this bill. Again, we will lose absolutely nothing by passing it. That has been checked in other states, and if anyone tells you that, they are misinformed or misrepresenting the truth. 42 states, including ours, are pushing back, and I'm proud to stand here today to bring the Show Me State into that line of people and states that are pushing back. We have a chance to provide a voice to the Show Me State citizens so they can finally be heard at the federal level and the state level where their voice has been denied. With that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Senator from the 7th has moved for the adoption of the Senate substitute to Senate Committee substitute to House Committee substitute to House Bill 1764. Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Speak on the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I want to thank the Senator from the 7th for her work on this piece of legislation, for her persistence, and for her leadership in really responding to the will of the people, not only people in her district, but in mine, and people from across this state. I think that the goals that were initially set forth are and will be reached through this piece of legislation. I think the goal of protecting the freedom and liberty of Missouri citizens so that they can make their choice and options, that they would be able to have the ability to make decisions within their own personal lives and that of their families on what kind of health care they have. And I think also that it was important that the people have their voice heard on this, that they were able to vote on this issue. And I think that the ability for the people to speak on this is important and was one of the goals. Also, I think it's important that we further this debate and discussion about what is the role of government, the role of government at the federal level, the role of government at the state level. And I think that this piece of legislation will help us accomplish that goal. So I really believe that the passage of this bill will further the goals of the people, that this debate, I believe, has just begun. I think this issue is just, as I've said before, the vehicle that is going to foster the debate. It could be any issue that is, as we perceive, outside the realm of federal authority and their constitutional authority, which is granted to it in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, that it could have been any issue. It just happened to be health care. And I believe that this bill will take one more step forward for us to further those discussions and debates about the role and the sovereignty of the great state of Missouri and other states in this country. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the bill? Senator from Lawrence, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. To very briefly inquire of the senator from the 7th.
Does the senator from the 7th yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I certainly want to proceed to a resolution on this, if that's possible. I just want to briefly thank you for the leadership and the effort that you've put into this all session and even before that. You, like many of us, saw what was a great overreaching by the federal government. And the first time in this country that we have seen private individuals compelled to enter into private business transactions with other private entities. That frightens me. It frightens many in this nation for the direction that our government might be taking us. You have taken bold steps. I'm happy to be with you on this, and I thank you for your work.
Thank you for your help.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate substitute? Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to speak very briefly on this piece of legislation.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I am disturbed, number one, about this piece of legislation. And I will tell you that in terms of my senior citizens that I represent in the 14th Senatorial District, they are disturbed about this as well. Many of the seniors that I represent do not have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of retiree benefits. They have been part of a Medicare system that's paid for by the government, and they like that. The government has come in and said to seniors, you've worked long, you've worked hard. This is kind of a reward for you, and we will continue to do that. We'll continue to take care of your health care needs. So that if there's anybody who is a senior citizen and you don't want your Medicare, turn in your card. It's very simple. You don't have to take it if you don't want to take it. You don't want to be a part of that system, you don't have to be a part of that system. But I like the fact that this bill, the federal health care bill, will reduce the drug costs. We had a bill several years ago that was written by the pharmaceutical industry, and it was designed to help senior citizens with their prescription medications. It did anything except that. That's how we came up with the donut hole, where they're going to have to pay a portion of their monies into that in order to get their prescriptions filled. In this federal health care bill, a lot of preventive services are covered. In case you don't know what that means that you don't have to pay for those things, like mammograms, colonoscopies, things that senior citizens will need simply because of their age. It will also support early retiree coverage. In case you don't know what that is and you decide to retire before you reach Medicare age, there is coverage in that bill for you. It will also lower the cost for our struggling seniors by expanding the Medicare Part D low-income subsidy. Mr. President, however we look at this piece of legislation, the federal government for once has decided that we're going to put all these other things aside. We're not going to necessarily look at the next election. We're going to try to do what is best for our citizens. I just brought up the fact about the seniors. But when we look at students who are in college, students who are going to school to do better for themselves, and at a certain age, they have to be cut off from their parents' insurance. Now, with this health care bill from the federal government, they will be able to stay on until 26, until they can get on their feet, they can get a job, they can get started with their own health care coverage. We look at other instances about this federal bill, and I, for one, I'm very happy that the federal government has decided that this is something that the people of this state and that this nation should have and join in with the other industrialized countries in this world, where they take care of people who sometimes can't take care of themselves. We've often heard that, oh, they're going to make you take something that you don't want. You may not be able to afford it. The whole point of the legislation is to make sure that everybody has an affordable health care policy that will take care of some of their needs. We've talked about health savings accounts. We've taken a $5,000 deductible, and you got to spend $5,000 before you can go to the doctor and get any kind of preventive treatment. Is that health care? I don't think it is. Because in my mind and in my world, I want to deal with prevention. I don't want to wait until someone gets diabetes and then they can be covered. I want them to do the things that they can do to prevent themselves from getting diabetes and other catastrophic illnesses. So, Mr. President, I recognize that this is something that politically some people may need to do. I recognize that. But, Mr. President, I can think for myself, I can stand for myself, and I am saying that the health care bill on the national level is something that we need to embrace rather than try to politicize this and make it into something that it is not. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francis, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak briefly on this bill.
Proceed.
I'm not going to speak long, but I want to address a couple of those things. When we went in this last year, we were going to have a bipartisan agreement, and it was going to be on health care reform. We didn't get any reform. All we did is get the cost shifting to who's going to pay for it. I just went to my accountant on April 15, Mr. President, and he tells me how much more I'm going to have to withhold so that I can pay for other things. That's great that they're going to get other coverage. It's coming from someplace else. We didn't do anything to reduce the cost of health care. We did no tort reform. We did no reform in what the doctors have to do in preventive medicine. We have no sense of where we can get together and work on truly getting rid of pre-existing conditions in a manner that's not going to cost the payer. Now they think this pre-existing conditions is going to be free. It can't happen. It's like buying car insurance right after you've had the wreck. It's not going to be free. It's going to cost you, and it's going to continue to cost you. Having your kids insured between 21 and 26 is going to cost you. It's going to be an increase in cost. That's okay if you like it, but I think the people of the state of Missouri should have their voices heard. They should have the right to have their opinion on this, and the perception by the media, national media, is that the people that are complaining here either must be racist, or they must be stupid, or they must be undereducated. They've never given them the opportunity to just have another opinion, and I think that we need to do that. It's not going to happen. I've talked to two doctors this past week. I said, what are you going to do? How we're passing this, we're passing on a 21% rate reduction to the doctors. 21%. He said, one doctor says, my nurses said that they didn't want to take a 21% cut. I called my landlord. He said he didn't want to reduce my rent 21%. I called the city utilities. He didn't want to reduce. They don't want to reduce my 21%. What are you going to do? He said, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I'm just not going to take on any more Medicare patients. And as the age of this country keeps growing, and as more people become baby boomers, and they hit the 65-year level, and less doctors take this and will not take Medicare, as their patients die off, that's one thing. But when the new ones can't get doctors, and who wants to be a doctor if you cannot even afford to pay back your college tuition costs? I've got two friends in Farmington. The kids are going to medical school in England. Now, why are they going to medical school in England, Mr. President? It seems like, I guess, that'd be a fun place to vacation. They're going to medical school in England because it was easier to get into, and it was less costly. You know why? Nobody in England, because of socialized medicine, wants to become a doctor. Do we really want that in the United States? Shouldn't the people have the right to express their views on this? I think they should. I'm not going to talk any longer, but when we really want to do some reform of health care, I hope that we have some people come in November that say, let's not throw it out, but let's adapt this to where we go to the root of the cost, where they keep escalating. This did nothing about the escalating cost of health care. Where we start talking about some tort reform, where we start talking about economies of scale and going together and pooling resources on a lot of these health care issues. Where we start looking at research in a way that you would do it in business, not a little people researching here, and we can't tell them this college research to this university's research. We don't want to link them together because they may work together and find some type of cures that would save us money. There are a lot of areas we could improve health care, and I think the people of this state need to have the opportunity to vote on the fact that they're not happy with the federal government mandating things that really don't make sense to them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate substitute? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Close.
Senator from the 7th has renewed her motion for the adoption of Senate substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bill 1764. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from the 2nd, you are recognized for a closing motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the Senate substitute, Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 1764 be read the third time and placed upon its final passage.
The Senator from the 2nd has moved that Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 1764 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Senate will come to order. Senator from Buchanan.
Inquire of the Senator from the 2nd.
Does the Senator from the 2nd yield?
I yield, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Actually, it's not as much of an inquiry as just telling you what's happening.
Could you tell me what's happening?
I will tell you what's happening.
Thank you.
The question is, you know, most of our constitutional amendments, this is not a constitutional amendment, this is a referendum. But have to go to government accountability and fiscal oversight because they pick up a fiscal note based on the cost of elections. But because this one is slated for an existing election, which would be the August primary election date, does not have a fiscal note. So if there's any question anybody had of why this one is not going to government accountability and fiscal oversight before it gets its final vote, legislative oversight has not says there is no fiscal note attached to it, therefore it can receive its final vote today. So,
thank you.
Thought you might want to know that.
Bless you. You're so good looking.
We are back on the third reading motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Just to speak on the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just going to urge a no vote on this bill. How embarrassing and how appalling that Missouri is going to be one of those places that say, you know, Missourians are so worthless and so, you know, underperforming or, you know, discountable that we really don't want our constituencies to be involved in health care reform. We really don't want to start moving toward that universal health care for all Americans. And that we want to urge Missourians to get out of it and not be able to participate and not take, you know, that universal health care shouldn't be for Missourians. How embarrassing and how appalling. And this is going to be one of those, we'll all be going out in the rest of the world and having to explain why Missourians feel this way about ourselves, that we have to uniquely say, oh, this doesn't apply to us. We don't want this to apply to us. We don't want to go down toward the road toward health care for all people. So I have urged a no vote on this. This is really a negative thing for Missourians.
Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak briefly on the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've had kind of a long discussion in this body, and I'm not going to extend that discussion too long. What I think my perspective of this whole situation is, when I read the federal Constitution, our forefathers crafted a great document that had mechanisms for change. They were called popular elections. In 2008, we had a popular election for president and Congress. In this November, we will have another election. The genius of that document is that we created a mechanism in this democracy for change. If we feel that somebody has made a mistake or has not made a mistake, we determine that in popular elections by the people. That is our system. Independent of that, if we do not feel that that is enough of a protection and we believe that a government has exceeded its authority, the framers provided us yet another mechanism to change the federal Constitution. It's been changed 26 times. We were for prohibition, we were against prohibition in the span of 13 years. The forefathers created a document, and as we have a discussion in this country and in this state, I think we have to keep in mind that those forefathers saw the circumstance where we have a democracy that changes, that actions can be undone, or expanded. And that is ultimately the choice of elections. It's ultimately the choice of involvement in people. As I've heard great criticism about the federal health care bill, some of it valid, some of it invalid, I'm reminded of the 2008 election, that we had a 2008 election in November, and it should have been quite clear to everyone that this issue was going to be pursued by the federal government. It should be no surprise. We have a remedy in our democracy if a majority of Americans and Missourians believe that that was right or wrong. They express their opinion at the polls, in their party's primaries in August, and then in November. And if we don't believe that the federal government is going in the right direction, our forefathers gave us, they spoke to us in that document. They said, you the people determine this. You the people determine this in popular elections. You determine the course of this country. And as we look at the history of this country, Social Security, other issues were equally volatile at the time, although they seem wildly popular now. They were volatile at the time. There was discussions about the role of the federal government 70 years ago, 120 years ago, in the Civil War. And as our democracy evolves, we have that discussion. But we have a document that allows us federally to address that. And we address that issue at the polls. Elections have consequences, good or bad. Elections are determined by the people. And as we, in this body, deal with issues, I'm sure of genuine concern from different perspectives, let's keep in mind our framers gave us the ultimate solution, which was we live in a democracy in which we determine the course of this country that can change. Thank you, Mr. President.
President, to speak against the bill.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I just would echo what my colleagues and my caucus have said here today. And I would just like to add that when I came down to this legislative session this year and my constituents came down and said, you know, all you guys need to be talking about this year is the budget and jobs. Jobs, 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 jobs. And by my clock, we've spent maybe 2.5 hours on real economic development this session. And it pains me that we are, in my opinion, wasting more time sending messages to Washington, D.C. when we have constitutionally the ability to send a message through the election process. And we have failed our constituents at this point by passing any sort of real economic development that would actually create jobs in this state. And I would encourage my colleagues as we move forward in these last few days to please do what our constituents want us to do, which is start talking about job creation and putting people back to work in the state of Missouri.
Senator from the First, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Speak briefly on the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before we close on this, in our republic that we've been blessed with, the people elect their representatives to come down and make difficult decisions on their behalf. And the process just isn't about what happens in November every couple of years. The process and their involvement through this republic, and we are witnessing it today in their involvement, the people need to be involved. Our founding fathers did not trust government. We should not trust government. They came back very quickly after ratifying the Constitution. And the first 10 amendments, Mr. President, to that Constitution was to protect the people from their government. That's the effort that we are continuing in that spirit today, is to protect the people of Missouri from their federal government. And, Mr. President, I would assert more than any other time in our history, the people need that protection. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 10th, 11th.
Does the senator from the 11th yield? He does. Proceed.
In your testimony about this, you were talking about people getting elected to office. You mean to tell me the people that were elected this past or the year before in 2008 told the public that they were going to deal with health care reform?
Right.
Do you mean a politician that was elected to office told the public, if elected, what he was going to do?
Right.
You mean there's a politician, when running for office, actually fulfilled the promise that he made when he was running for office? A politician that did not lie to the public to get elected. Is that what happened?
It's my belief that during the 2008 presidential election, in both parties, there was a very lively debate about health care, and the person we elected as President of the United States, carrying the Electoral College and winning the popular election, pursued this as he said he would.
Wow.
I've never seen something like this before. Let me just say this, Senator. I know the point you're bringing up. You know, I'm not going to... This concept...
I'm bringing
water,
a simple argument. I am bringing a simple
right.
argument to the ludicrous actions that we continue to debate on the Senate floor.
Senator,
when people run for office, tell the public what they're going to do if they are elected to office, and then they do it, and people are upset. Just
Senator, I wanted to just say one thing with you on that point. While the forefathers recognized the power of government and wanted to limit that in the Bill of Rights, I think it is not good for our democracy to have this concept that the government is the enemy. Because when I read that document, we are the government. We are the people. We can make it what it wants. We can make it smaller. We can make it larger. And we determine that in elections. And if the election process doesn't work, then we change our federal constitution as we have 26 times. And what I'm saying is this concept that the government is this alien institution in Washington, our congresspeople that we elect are down there. I served in this body in the minority the entire time down here when the governor was a member of the other party, the Senate had a majority of the other party, and the House had a majority. They made decisions that I disagreed with. They made all sorts of decisions I disagreed with. But, you know, at the end of the day, maybe they were right, maybe they were wrong, but the people of Missouri elected them to do this. As we're dealing with this issue right now, I think you know my approach to the Senate. Look, there's a majority that wants to deal with this.
At the end
of the day, let whatever case be made and
that's
and,
fine,
and
but
move
when we're
on.
Talking about red, white, and blue, the United States of America, I'm one of the electorate out there that beg the United States Congress to take up financial reform. Because I'm tired of watching people lose their pensions because of mismanagement and not enough regulations on the financial market. What about all those employees at Enron? What about the major accounting firm Arthur Andersen? What reforms have we seen at the federal level to protect that individual that goes to work every day and all of a sudden their pension is totally gone?
Senator,
all the promises of putting the money into those pensions are gone. There's legislation now to deal with that the special interest is fighting. I would like some actions and protections so that I'm able to retire in dignity with a pension and have these reforms.
Senator,
so,
my answer to you is if that happens, then you'll be happy and you'll vote for people for re-election. If it doesn't, you have an option of running for Congress yourself, which the forefathers kind of suggested, or... pursuing some
Not
other
interested.
Remedy that's available to the states. But let me just, I'm just saying that's how that document speaks to me. The government is not the enemy. The government is a reflection of us for all its faults, for whatever advantages. In World War II, we all joined together as a nation in time of war. I've heard on this floor and haven't responded, but I hear about all of a sudden the federal debt. Federal debt should be of concern to everybody here. However, it didn't happen overnight by both parties. I watched the other party for the last 8 years fight 2 foreign wars, give tax cuts. And I remember in 1998, we were close to a balanced budget, and I'm just saying debt knows no party, and let's have an honest discussion about that, that a lot of this debt that we're looking at that is a very serious concern for the future of this country, it didn't just happen since January 1st of 2009. And let's have a real honest discussion. And a lot of people in this discussion who talk about rolling back the federal government, I have one question, and I have asked them individually this. Where have they been from the year 2000 to 2008?
When we were doing
all those things, right or wrong, the issue was the same. The expansion of the federal government, the expansion of debt, and all of those issues were true as they are true today. And what I'm saying is, let's have a genuine discussion and elect people to government that deal with that. And if we don't like it, let's throw them out of office or let's reelect them. That's what a democracy is about. But I am part of the democracy. This government I am part of. When I wasn't a state senator, I was part of this government because the state government and the federal government and my city council and my school board are a reflection of my participation in a democracy. It is of the body public.
Here's what's going on in Jefferson City. You had a bipartisan effort to try to deal with this budget and do some reforms. Reforms that will help us in dealing with the billion-dollar shortfall. The senator from Cape Girardeau's bill dealing with pension reform. DOA over in the House.
I told him, Senator, when he had that bill, he did such a great job, I didn't ask him a single solitary question.
The senator from Buchanan, with the consolidation of the Water Patrol, Highway Patrol, alcohol and tobacco, and his two constitutional amendments, which I voted for, to bring the higher ed and elementary secondary. I read in a news brief right between intermission here, during intermission, I guess you could say, that they are not going to have a hearing on that until next week. So that I assume, is DOA. The issues that really pertain of how we can do some concrete, positive steps to reduce government is DOA, because we have certain legislators that say, unless we continue the corporate welfare, that means doling out taxpayer money to the people that need it the least, until we give them more, we're not going to deal with any reforms. So all these people that are up in arms about the Constitution and government need to come up here and not so much worry about what a politician said he was going to do in the past, but really want to do something concrete, start demanding from us to do what we say when we're running for office. Downsize government. The Missouri Senate, in a bipartisan fashion, has done that. The Missouri House, in a partisan fashion, has not done that. So let's all step up to the plate, and if we're going to pass this and give it to the vote, I challenge all my colleagues, too, to go across the hall and deal with some of these reforms and tell them step up to the plate and start worrying about the people we represent instead of the so-called consultant issues that are popular to the people that absolutely do nothing.
Senator, all I know is when I read the federal Constitution, it speaks very clear to me to say it says it's a document prescribing how to change things. If you don't like something, change it.
Just so everyone gets a quick history lesson, under a Republican-controlled Congress in 1998 with a Democratic president, they passed the balanced budget. Come 2000, when a Democratic president left office and you had a Republican Congress, within 10 years, by the year 2010, the debt would have been zero because we were taking in more tax dollars to pay down our debt. So by 2010, that surplus that was talked about in 2001 and 2002 with the Republican president was paying down the debt, just like we have to do with the credit card. And that debt went from $4 trillion in 8 years to about $11 trillion, and now the current president's raised it another $3 or $4 trillion. But just so we know, there was a bipartisan effort at the turn of the century to pay down the debt by 2010. That went out the window within 1 year with the new president. So we need to all worry about that, too.
Senator, I'm a complete advocate of citizens' involvement in government and movements. My only question, though, to some of these movements is, where have you been since 2001? If you're worried about the size of government, the size of debt, genuine concerns to have as Americans, as Missourians, where have you been?
Absent.
I have watched a great expansion of government not beginning January 1st, 2009, but beginning January 1st, 2001. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the bill? Hearing none, Senator from the second, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've heard a lot of people talk today about that they were going to speak briefly. I actually mean it. I close.
Senator from the second has renewed his motion that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 1764 be read a third time and placed upon its final. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 1764, an act relating to insurance. Senators Barnetts, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Kevany, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nodler, Pierce, Pergeson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumacher, Stouffer, Vogel, Wilson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from the 8th. Senator from the 8th votes aye. Senator from St. Clair. Senator from St. Clair votes aye. Senator from Andrew. Senator from Andrew votes aye. Senator from the 2nd. You are recorded as an aye. Senator from Franklin. As an aye. Senator from Webster. Senator from Webster votes aye. Senator from St. Francis. You are recorded as an aye. Twenty-six ayes, eight noes. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling of perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, could you take us to the order of business on the formal calendar of House bills on the third?